glory. Hey, can we all stand together, family? Man, did everybody have a wonderful Christmas this year? I mean, wonderful because Jesus is wonderful, amen? You know what I'm talking about? You know, it's wonderful, you know, to see family, to be with family, but to know that our Savior, the King of Kings, has made all that possible, that we have the love and the joy and the hope because of Him, amen? All right. And we're not going to sing any Christmas songs this morning. I'm not going to try to do my deep, deep voice, but we are going to definitely worship Him this morning, amen? Would you join with me in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we just lift you up this morning, God, as God, we lay everything down before you, God. If there be anything inside of us, God, that would hinder us from worshiping you with a free heart, God. Lord, that we would just seek you, God, that we would lay that down, that before we come before you, Lord, we would get rid of all of those things, God. God, help us to see those things as well, Lord Jesus. God, give us the eyes, Lord Jesus. And God, give us the strength, God, to lay them down. And God, to jump into your arms if we need to. This morning, God, you're an amazing God. And God, there's nothing too big for you. There's nothing too great, God. God, you are an awesome God. You are an amazing God, Lord Jesus. God, let us not forget that. Let us not take for granted how wonderful of amazing God that we have, the creator, God, of our lives. Lord, we give you thanks in your wonderful name, Jesus. And everyone said, amen. And bless Karen this morning as she preaches her heart out. I love it. Amen. All right. Amen. You guys ready? We're going to sing How Forever God Is Grateful to Us. Amen.
With a mighty hand.
you are strong. Amen. If we would at this time, let's greet one another here at Pathway of Hope.
That's kind of a scary intro.
Good morning, everybody.
We got to work on that intro.
My name is Karen Kelly, and I want you to grab your bulletins. Yes, there's like not a whole lot right now, but there's going to be like bunches more next week. Bunch down. Jeffrey, can't, your dad says down, please, down. Yeah. Oh, those sit down, not the boys down. Oh, sorry, yeah, because, you know, down could be several things, you know, like, you know, so, okay, hi. But in there is still some stuff going on. This week, the women's ministry is taking a week off. And then, is your Thursday morning journal Bible group, are they taking this off, or are they meeting? We better, okay. So they're having this off. But the youth, guys, woohoo! The youth are still meeting Wednesday night. But you need to talk to Randy because the location still has not been decided. So talk to Randy and he'll let you know, huh? There you are. Yeah, I'm over here. There you are. Anyways, but there is just some neat stuff. The women's ministry does have some neat stuff. So does the youth, and so does the men's group. So just keep posted and looking at that. And then in here, it shows you also on the second Saturday is the men's breakfast, and that's coming up pretty soon. So we've got the kids club, and so we got lots happening, but lots more starting in 2010. Can you believe it? Another year.
I love it.
Crazy. And in here is this wonderful page. It's really awesome. It's called the communication card. Isn't that awesome? It's just beautiful. And it has a place for any first-time guests or anybody to put your name and address, like information, like if we already got your name and address, but something's changed, go ahead and put any changed information also. And we'd love to keep in touch, letting you know what's going on and happening here. So let's continue with some more... music, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Hey, and just to let you guys know, the youth ministry, just a little update here. God's doing some pretty amazing things in the youth ministry. We're definitely going deeper spiritually with these kids. But also to let you know that we're reaching a lot more youth, that we are averaging anywhere from 15 to 20 on a Wednesday night. Okay, yeah, amazing. You know, and we're not all about numbers, but in that same sense, spiritually, we are about numbers. Because we want to be a light and we want to reach more people. But that's not our goal, is just so we can be some mega, you know, mega youth group. But we want to be not just mega in size and number, but mega in spirit. And that is our goal. When I talked to these youth coming back from this event we had called Acquire the Fire, that's what they wanted to do. They said, we don't want to just grow in size and just be some happening hangout party gang. We want to go deeper. And so these kids are learning a little more about the Bible. We did, some Bible drills the other day, and they're like, wow, I need to learn how to get through the Bible a lot faster. So they're understanding those things. So I just wanted to give you guys an update, let you know how our youth ministry is going and how it's growing. And in that sense, it is. And right now, the reason we're kind of struggling back and forth where to meet, I got a lot of different parents that, let's just put it this way. Their kids don't go to a church. They don't have a church. They don't go to a church. And I'm trying to decide on what night, because a lot of them can't get their kids on a Wednesday night. If I could do it five nights a week, I would. Trust me, that's my heart, okay? Right now, that's not possible, but with God, all things are, amen? And so I'm really trusting. Would you guys pray with me on that one, too? Because it's a big decision I'm making. I don't want to make a decision where I start blocking out some of these kids that, you know, don't go to a church. They don't have a body to come to and encourage them, and this is their body. Even some of the parents of these kids are showing up and now are coming to church. And that's, to me, that's an amazing, that's where God's doing the work. That's where I need your prayers. That's where I need your help. Amen? Thank you. Thank you so much. You know what? Let's celebrate a little bit more. So I'm going to ask you guys to stand if you would. I know you love it. You get aerobics here too. Amen? That's right. There you go. Everybody, follow Lynn. We're going to bounce. All right. If I can get you what the youth do, we're going to hop. No, I'm just kidding. You worship God with your heart. That's what I want to hear. That's what I want to see.
Clouds, you lead me to the truth. You are the sky.
control just to say that we love you. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. Can we say that together, congregation? Can we say, I love you, Lord? Hallelujah. Say it in your own way. Say it in your heart. Tell him that you love him. Tell him that he's beautiful. This morning, let him fill you with his spirit. Let him lead you to his truth. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. And I sing it again. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. So beautiful. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. Yeah, you are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. And I'll sing it again. So easy to follow along in the words and the words that we read in front of us, but you see, sometimes God just wants to hear a sincere heart, our voices to just come forth and express from the bottom of our hearts, even if we don't have words to say, to express how beautiful he is to us. Sometimes it's hard to do, I know. Sometimes it's hard to let go, and it's easy just to follow the routines of our lives, even in church. But would you this morning let go of that routine and grab onto the relationship you have with your King? You see, that's what he's looking for. He's not looking for a religious routine. He's looking for a real relationship. If we could let go this morning, church family, and maybe you're already there, would you encourage us by just lifting up the name of Jesus? Just do that this morning. Just tell him you love him. Tell him everything he wanted to say to him. Hallelujah. So beautiful, my King. Yeah, so beautiful. You see, I love you. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Oh, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Let us have a sweet, sweet sound. He is so deserving for more than that, even that. But I know he loves us. Do you know that he loves you this morning? Say amen. Amen.
Before we sing the next couple of songs, you know how he was mentioning about the heart, you know, and some of us remember when we were learning about David and Samuel the prophet was going to go and anoint the next son, the next man of the sons. And he's looking and looking, and it's not him. And he's going, well, do you have another one? And remember, oh, yeah, that son. Oh, yeah, he's out in the field. You know, he's tending the sheep. Yeah, it's my youngest, you know, but are you sure? You know, you don't want to anoint one of these guys? But the prophet Samuel, the Lord had told him, he goes, you know what? I don't look at the outward appearance. I look at the heart. And so right now we want to prepare our hearts. You know, there's a lot of stuff that goes on. And this is Satan's goal, is to try to get us off of our eyes onto the Lord. And we want to just empty ourselves and be ready to receive everything that the Lord Jesus has for us today during worship and during the message that God will be sharing with us through me. But I mean, you know, it's God's word, you Amen. Know. Amen. But it's like, Lord, thank you. Let us be ready. We're going to have the prayer ministry team standing over here on the side. Some are on vacation, but, you know, a few of them will be here. Dick and Lynn and Jonathan is here, or was. And they're going to be standing over this, okay? Standing over the side during the next couple songs. And if you want to go to them, if there's any prayer need and stuff, and you want somebody to join you in prayer, lifting it up, oh, wow, they totally believe in the power of prayer, and they know it, and have seen it in their own lives and seen it in the others being answered as they have prayed and joined. But also, if you want to go before the cross and kneel down and go before the Lord, you know, don't care about what other people think. If you want to kneel where you're at or sit down. In other words, it's between you and God right now. Just pretend nobody else is in the room and it's you and God alone. And you're saying, I love you, Lord. Empty me of me, any of my worries, my concerns, the stuff that's going on, and I leave it to you. And I want to be empty to receive and be full of you and your purpose. So let's join in time of singing.
Sing a song of love to myself, to my Jesus. Grateful for all the things you've done. Love and save my precious Jesus. Thank you.
arms of love, Lord. Thank you that they never fail, that they never give out. Thank you, God, that your strength, God, can carry us through, even when we are weak. Hallelujah. Thank you. And we thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit, God, that tarries with us everywhere we go.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. You can go ahead and be seated. Thank you so much. Dina, can you help me get this on there for me, please? If you can get your bulletins again, these wonderful, awesome bulletins. But I need that. I need that stand there. Yeah. You know me. Remember, I'm a woman with a lot of things.
All right, you want that one up there?
Yeah. So. I don't have that. You know how Pastor Doug has that nice black little folder for his notes, so you get to see a manila folder. It's not nice and black. But you got your bulletins? Okay, did I give you enough time? Okay, and on the inside, on the left-hand side, there is our vision. And I would really appreciate it if you would also exercise your vocal cords and join with me in saying it out loud. So, you ready? We exist to glorify God by being a spirit-filled people, empowered by Him to accomplish His perfect will in an imperfect world. Pretty cool, huh? It is awesome to know that God loves us. And I'm going to switch to the cordless, because I forgot to do that. And Am I on? No? Am I on now? Am I on now? Am I on now? No. Am I on now? Can you hear me now? Oh, you can so hear me now. Okay, cool. Okay, and he's getting that, and let me get this over here, because you can see I do this all the time. Oh, is this off? No, that's why it's doing what it's doing. Okay, there we go. Okay. But anyways, what's neat about our statement is that it shows us how much God loves us. Sorry, I know that they were kind of bothering me. But it shows us how much God loves us. And we all know that, and we've read in the Bible how it says how God is love and true, and that's kind of heavy for that. And God is pure, and He's holy, and He's perfect, and He is just faithful. He is just. He is righteousness. I mean, He is so, like, awesome that we can't even comprehend it because of sin that's in the world. Our God is so wonderful. I mean, He cannot lie. He can't even do a white lie. I mean, it's just not in Him. He is so pure in love. And He had us so that He could share it with us. That's why He created us, so He could share His awesomeness, His love. In Matthew chapter 7:11, I don't know if it reminds me of 7:11, you know. But anyways, Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, it says that God, you know, it's that example about, you know, okay, your evil's in this world, you were born into sin, but you know, and you guys knowing this, when you have children, wow, you know how to give your children good gifts, wonderful gifts, advantageous gifts, but guess what? Our Father, who is perfect, who is holy and pure, watch out what kind of gift He can give you. I mean, it is incredible what He can give us. One of the things that we see that in is Jeremiah 29:11. A lot of us know that, right? For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not harm you. He doesn't want evil for our lives. He wants our welfare. He wants us to be filled with His peace that surpasses all understanding, to guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. But we need to keep our eyes focused on Him in order to do that. Do you remember a couple weeks ago, Pastor Doug was doing a sermon, and it was on Mary? And one of the points that he shared about was that she believed in the authority of her son. She knew that Jesus was the promised Messiah, was God's son. And so here they are. He's talking from John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, where it's the setting that at the wedding banquet at Cana in Galilee. And so Jesus, His disciples, and Mary, His mom, are there, right? And this situation arises, and they run out of wine. Well, this wasn't good. For that tradition then, it was not good to run out of wine. It did not look good on the wedding couple. And Mary, her compassionate, loving heart, she's going, Jesus, you know, can you help? And she knows He can help. And then she knows that Jesus, loving and caring and honoring His mother, would listen to her request. just like he listens to ours when we lift them up to the throne room of God because of Jesus being our Lord and Savior. Well, here's Mary. And so she just tells Jesus this, kind of like, will you help? We've got a situation here. Then she just doesn't wait for his answer, really. I mean, he answers, but she doesn't want to listen to it. And then she goes, okay, to the servant. She goes, okay, servant, you do everything that he tells you to do. Because she knew that Jesus had the authority. So Jesus tells the servants to get the water pots. And then he tells them to fill them with water. What is awesome is that these servants didn't just fill it up to water, but it says that they, in verse 11, that they filled it up to the brim, all the way to the top, where it was just about to overflow. I mean, they put every bit of drop of water that they could. So they obeyed to the extent that they possibly could, with full obedience to what Jesus said. And then what happened? Then Jesus tells them to take a cup and take it over to the master of ceremonies, the manager, the superintendent of the wedding banquet. So he tastes it. And he goes, wow, this is like so good. This is new wine. You saved the best to last. And he goes and tells the bridegroom this. Well, everybody knew what had just happened. Mary, the disciples, and the servants, they knew that Jesus had turned water into a new wine, which was the best saved for last. In their obedience, they had awesome, wonderful, new, good, really the best wine that they had for that wedding banquet. That was unusual. But he heard the need, and that was the time that God chose, with that situation that arose, for Jesus to do his first miracle, the first wonder works, the first awesomeness, the first manifestation of his awesome power was there, shown right there in Cana of Galilee. This is our God. He is just totally and completely awesome. So they do. They do what Jesus says. So, okay, I want us to think of like we're God's servants. And I want you to just imagine we are water pots. We are vessels for the Lord to use. So do you want me to go to the, am I loud enough for everybody? Because like I was blessed with a loud enough voice. So anyways, got in trouble a lot of times for my loud voice. So, but anyways, think of yourself as a water pot, okay? And to be filled with the new wine. And the reason I want to say that is because in the Bible, new wine represents a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So I want you to think of you being filled with a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Think of yourselves as vessels fit for the master's use. Now, one thing to do this is to be those water pots, to be the vessels fit for the master's use, is to believe in God. And we need to do this, but one thing I want us to remember as we're going into 2010, there is a Bible verse I want you guys to absolutely remember, and that is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. As it is written, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered to the heart of man what God has prepared for those that love him. So 2009 had situations just like that wedding banquet had. 2010 will have more situations. But they are opportunities for the new wine to come, for the fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit, if you are willing to be filled to the brim with him. You know, not, you know, filled to the rim with brim, you know, but filled to the brim with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now you could say, well, okay, how do I do this? One thing we need to remember, though, is as Luke chapter 9, verse 62 says, put your hand to the plow and do what he tells you to do, is the Amplified Version, and not look back. Then you will be fit for the service of the kingdom of God. So we need to do what Jesus tells us to do. Don't look back. God will take care of what's back there. God will take care of what's in front of you. But he wants you to do right now, today, what he asks you to do, moment by moment sometimes. We need to have that. So let's come back to we believe. Number one, believing in God, which includes faith, you know, the trust and reliance on Jesus as your Lord and Savior, prayer, and that he's got it in control. You know, he's got everything under control. Remember, in heaven and on earth, thy will be done on heaven and on earth. So we want to be in that perfect will. And then prayer, that's talking to God, but it's also listening to him and being willing to obey him, but with great expectation, because you know that as you obey him, this releases God. We're doing our part, and this releases God to do his part. As you obey, it releases him to work in supernatural, super powerful ways. That is what happened when the servants obeyed Jesus at the wedding. And it released the power of God to be shown and manifested right before their eyes. Water turned into new wine, the best tasting. So then we need to also remember, like Mark 9, 23 and 24, let's say you're saying, okay, well, sometimes I'm struggling with my belief. And remember, this was the Father. This, I love it, because Jesus will meet you where you're at. Just be honest with him. Be open to him. And he's saying, you know, Jesus, my son needs healing. And he's going, well, you know what? Anything is possible to him who believes. And he goes, you know what, Jesus, I know, I've heard, I've seen that you've done some awesome miracles. And then in verse 9:24, he tells Jesus, he goes, please help my unbelief. And Jesus does. And he heals his son. He meets him where he's at. And just surrender and just say, God, you know what? I'm struggling. I know your holy word. I thank you and praise you for your love for me. I thank you for salvation through Jesus. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that you're preparing a place for me in heaven. This is all awesome. I thank you for your promises and the word of God and that it is alive and true. And I've seen it. I've seen it happen. Some people be healed. And, wow, I thank you for the day that I received Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. But right now, I'm just kind of struggling. He'll help you. And also wait expectantly. That's what they were doing. You know, they were waiting expectantly. They were like, okay, all right. Okay, we'll do the water. We'll fill it all the way up, these water pots, you know. Okay, what's going to happen? I wonder what's going to happen. And then they dip and they go and take it. And it's like, whoa, he said it's the best wine ever. You know, it's like so cool. And he compliments the bridegroom. It's like too cool. Wait expectantly. This is said in Isaiah 64:6. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, where it says, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by ear, nor has the eye seen God, any God besides you, Lord God. Because all goodness that is here on earth is only because of him who acts for the one who waits for him. So our God, the Almighty, the one true God, will act if we wait on him. No. Are you going to wait on him and begrudgingly? Look what happened to Job. Oy, oy, oy. He just had so many things happen to him. I mean, sickness, and he lost his whole welfare of income and living, his home, his children. Oh, but Satan made sure that his wife was still alive, nagging at him, you know. And she was like trying to get him to turn away from God, but he didn't. He kept his eyes on the Lord. He kept worshiping and praising God, waiting for the Lord, knowing that whatever happened to him, he was God's anyways. And so God was in control. Then what did God do? Honoring him as he waited, he blessed him more abundantly because he never turned back in loving and obeying God. And he never turned back, and he blessed him doubly what he was. And he was a wealthy man before. And God blessed him. So watch out when we love and obey. This is like so cool. So believe. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus tells his disciples to wait in Jerusalem for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because he promised them. In John 14, he says, you know, he's going to come. He's my teacher, my counselor, the Spirit of truth, and he's going to help you. He's going to, like, be with you all the time. And so I have to go to the heaven. I go to heaven to be with my Heavenly Father and do my business there. But I'm going to have the Holy Spirit come. So he goes, I want you to go to Jerusalem. And they do. They go. And they wait patiently. But do you think they're going, oh, man. Okay, another day's passed. Another day's passed. 3 days have passed. I am wanting this Holy Spirit that he said, because I'm missing Jesus. And then they're going, okay. another phase passed, you know, like no miracles are happening because like Jesus is gone. Okay, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and then 10 days, about 10 days. And then boom! In Acts chapter 2, it shows how the Holy Spirit came with power upon them. He came with like fires of like little fires, like it looked like tongues on fire, they said. And it came upon them. Well, this same experience happened. And that, remember, the Jewish people knew this because, and that's why it was represented. Because remember, a cloud was like what led the Israelites out of Egypt by day and then fire by night. So they knew this represented the fire of God. So in Azusa Street, 1906 through 1910, same thing happened. That fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit came in a mighty way. And it came in the form of fire. In fact, in the old warehouse where they were, fire was coming up from the roof. And sometimes fire would come down from heaven, but yet the roof wasn't burning. Many times the fire department would come out on calls, but it wasn't burning. Children were known because the cloud, the Shekinah glory of the Lord, was about 2 feet off the ground. And children were playing in that, playing hide and seek in the glory of God. William Seymour was the pastor that God chose, and he chose him to do something unusual, where he put a crate over his head. The children, one of the children that I read from the book of stories from the children that were raised at Azusa during that time, he said that he'd have a crate or a box or something over his head. He'd be there for about 10 minutes to over an hour. Then all of a sudden, when the Holy Spirit told him to, and you'd think he felt awkward, yeah, but he was being obedient to the Holy Spirit. It didn't matter what other people said. And so here he is, he takes it off, and then at that point in time, he would say whatever the Holy Spirit had instructed him to say. And the power of God many times would be, certain things would be healed. A gentleman who had lost his arm in a farming accident, they saw it grow. They saw first the bones growing and then the ligaments and the tendons around it, and then the flesh starting to grow all the way, just growing out. They all saw this. And then it worked. But not only was William Seymour touched, but everybody was touched by the power of God. Women, mothers, housewives, you know, would come there. And then they would have certain times of the Holy Spirit would have them gifted with certain healings. And so like somebody would say, oh, you got mouth problems? Okay, go to this lady over here. She's got the gift of healing for that. Oh, you've got the back problems? Okay, go to this lady over here. She's got, the janitor guy that just became saved, you know, and he got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Oh, go over here because he's got the gift of healing for legs. Many people were healed in mighty ways, but not only that, they were empowered by a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit, being great witnesses to others. Some were given gifts of language in other places. This happened in Topeka, too, in the early 1900s. And Charles Parnham had a school called Bethel School. And pastors would come there, and all of a sudden, the power of the Holy Spirit, the new wine, the fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit came. One lady was speaking Chinese and writing Chinese for 3 days. She could not speak English for 3 days. This happened at Azusa Street, and many missionaries went out into the world. Some were speaking in languages, and they were going, one guy, he said, he goes, you know what? I don't like it that they're like quacking in their spiritual language. Well, they found out later that there was a village somewhere remote in the world that had like a quacking type language. We would consider it quacking, but that was their language. Whatever it is, our God will meet us where we're at if we believe, but we need to be prepared to receive. And that's the second point. We need to be prepared to receive what God has for us, that fresh outpouring. If we have unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment, jealousy, envy, strife, if we have somebody that's more important than God in our lives, that's stuffing up that room. It's taking up that room in the vessel. So we need to be emptied, totally surrendered to the complete control of surrendering our lives to the control of our Lord Jesus Christ. Completely. Your will, not mine. We need to, as the Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, he says, I daily die to myself. Because now I'm it's not me living. Yeah, it's this physical body, but Jesus Christ is in me. I trusted him as my Lord and Savior. He is in me. He is alive and true. And it's no longer what I want, but what God wants. Here I am, Lord. Use me. Here am I, Lord. Send me. I am yours. I am surrendered to yourself. So daily ask the Holy Spirit to reveal something. Psalm 118, verse 24 says, you know, rejoice in the Lord, for this is a new day. And that's not the way it goes. How does it go? I always say it too. Sorry. It's gone. But it's a good one. And it says, you know, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. There it is. Hello. Yeah, I got it. So, but you know, like rise and sign and go, okay, cool, Lord, this is cool. So like 2010 should be like, you know how we have New Year's resolutions? I'm like, blew that one. I blew that one. Okay. No. Let's take it day by day, sometimes moment by moment. And let's have a daily resolution. Thanking you. This is the day that you have made, Lord God. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I am surrendered to you. Holy Spirit, is there anything that is in me that is not letting room for you to fill me to overflowing with your fresh presence? Because I want to get rid of it right now. I'm truly sorry. It's not just saying, oh yeah, I'm sorry. No, it's truly repentant. Like, okay, what do I need to do? Do I need to stop this or start this? Do I need to do this or not do this? I mean, you're totally surrendered to the will of God. Thanking him and praising with a grateful heart, but with humility, saying, I am yours. Because he knows what you want. He knows your likes and dislikes. He knows what your desires are and your goals are. And many times that is in line with him. But remember, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, a lot of us know that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, and lean not on your own understanding, because we got to remember, like in Isaiah 55, 8, 9, it says, my ways are not always your ways, and my thoughts are not always your thoughts. But as we lean on him and trust in him, totally surrender to him and his perfect will for our lives, he will direct our paths. He will make it plain, straight, this is the way to go. Now, sometimes you may not know exactly. Well, then go a way that you think is the right way, and then keep praying. And then maybe God will allow you to keep going that way, or maybe he'll redirect you. But he's in control, totally and completely. If you blow it, that is one thing about our God. His mercies are there all the time for us, completely and totally. We, his mercy is what we receive, but we don't deserve. And his mercy covers us. And I mean, his mercy is protecting us from death. And then his grace, because of his mercy, empowers us to be able to receive all the benefits that we have because Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. Remember, we have authority in the name and through the blood of Jesus Christ. When you've repented of your sins and you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you have authority on this earth to do the perfect will of God. In a mighty awesome way. But it's with love and obedience in your heart. Is your heart right? And then, the third one we need to make is we need to act. We need to do what God tells us to do. In the dictionary, because you guys know I like to look up words in the dictionary. And in the dictionary, a word, the act means doing or moving, a thing done, a deed in action. Okay, so a lot of us know what, you know, think of that when we think of act, right? But it also means a decision, a court, legislator, etc., a law decree. It means a document formally stating what has been done or made into law. Well, as we obey God, we are acting out the decree with the authority and the power we have in and through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We are doing our part, which releases God's part. There's a lot going on right now. Even right now, that we do not see. There is a spiritual realm. Every once in a while, God allows us to see the spiritual realm. But whether we see it or not, it is there. Remember in Hebrews chapter 11, it's the faith chapter. And it's like, you know, faith is things hoped for. You know, we may not see it, but we believe and trust in the Lord God, the Almighty One who loves us. Remember I talked to you about Azusa Street, right? And Charles Parnham and William Seymour and others had several similar prophecies. And they were saying about 100 years, there would be a greater outpouring of the Holy Spirit than what happened in Acts chapter 2, than what happened at Topeka, at Kansas. It also happened around the world in India, China, Korea, everywhere. It's going to happen greater. Pastor Tommy Tenney has a ministry in a church in Texas. And he was saying that God has finally released him to tell us that we are to be prepared to be the carriers of the glory. Many prophecies have been fulfilled in the Bible. So many believe that we are in the last days. Is that something to be worried about or concerned about? No. Guess what? God's got it in his hand. He's got it under control. You had situations in 2009. You'll have situations in 2010. But it will bring opportunities for that fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Are you going to be a carrier of the glory of God for his perfect will, for his purposes? Do you want to be ready for that? I don't know about you, but I want to. I mean, it says in Acts chapter 2 where they were able to then go to Samaria, Judea, all over the place because of the power of the Holy Spirit, being witnesses for the one true God. The book of Acts is awesome. It shows the mighty power of God. It is what it says, Acts. Acts of the power of the Holy Spirit being manifested in mighty, miraculous ways as they lovingly obey the Lord Jesus, sometimes laying down their lives. But many miracles were happening. I mean, Peter was like so majorly anointed, you didn't have to touch his garment. His shadow healed people. Well, we're going to be doing a Bible study coming up in the new year. And it's based on a book that Pastor Doug and I have read. And it's called The God Chasers. Actually, Pastor Johnny was the one that told me as he was listening to my heart and what the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. So he had me read this. And before he accepted the other position, I finally finished it. And at a meeting, he told Pastor Doug, he goes, my last assignment for you, Pastor Doug, is to read this book. And he did. It is an awesome book. Tommy Tenney has seen the glory of God come down on churches in mighty ways. He is chasing after God. He has known God all his life, but he has seen God pour out his fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit in ways that we cannot even fathom. I don't know about you, but, you know, sometimes I remember hearing of a lady in her 80s, okay? She's sleeping at night, and these things are coming. These like, you know, numbers and symbols and all this stuff is coming out. Well, it's a formula. She keeps having it. Finally, one morning, she wakes up and she's writing it in her 80s. That made her 60,000. Happens again. And it is something about the oil or something for the car instead of the gas. She makes millions because they don't want it to go out because it would be better for the gas. You never know. What if the fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit is a resolution? What if you, Tommy Tenney says in this book, which is like cool, what if we are so filled with the power of the Holy Spirit that as Peter, we're walking in the mall and all of a sudden somebody says, what do you have? I need to repent. I need Jesus. People, you know what? There is a hell and there is a heaven. And when this earth suit dies, you're either going to go to hell or heaven, but the choice is yours. It's a free will. It's a gift that God has given you, Jesus. And if you trust Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you then will not go to hell, but you will have heaven. But the cool thing is when you're here on earth, you can have the fresh outpouring, all the benefits that Jesus Christ and this holy word of God, which is Jesus, the word became flesh. This is Jesus here. And we have the promises, if we lovingly obey him, we will see, because the best is saved for last. Is that cool? We will see the best, the fresh new wine of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Well, about 100 years, 1906 to 1910 was Azusa Street. I believe it is coming. And I've heard more and more saying that God's going to use whatever. He's been preparing whatever you've been going through. He has been preparing you for this moment. He's saying, if you love and obey me, watch out. Because as 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says once again, and I pray that we will all carry this into the year 2010. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart, your mind of each and every one of you. What God has planned for you, what God has prepared for you, But if you love him and obey him. So let us believe. Let us be prepared to receive and then act, doing what he tells us to do. And we will be the vessels, the water pots, with the new wine, with the fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. 2010 is going to be awesome. So cool. Thank you so much. We're going to sing a song. But while we sing that song, we're going to do an offering. So if you want to get your tithes and offerings, remember, this is an obedience to God. So just ask the Holy Spirit, say, what do you want me to give? Lord, I want to be obedient to you, because this releases the outpouring of his blessings too, as we see in Malachi 3. Our God is so awesome, and he loves us, and he cares for each one of you. Lord God, as we prepare right now to take the offering, Lord God, the tithes and offerings, we ask and pray that you would just move us to be obedient to you. We thank you and praise you that everything is yours. And this is just an act of being obedient to you and a form of worship and praise to you and service to you. We thank you and praise you for this time of being able to give tithes and offerings for your purpose, for your glory. Thank you, Lord. Bless it. In Jesus' name, thank you.
You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song.
Come on, church.
You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. And I'm singing again.
Glory.
You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song.
We all stand together.
You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. Yeah, you are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song, and I'll sing it again.
You are so good to me.
You are so good to me. You heal my broken heart. You are my Father in heaven. You are so good to me. You heal my broken heart. You are my Father in heaven. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. Yeah, you are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. And I'll sing it again.
You are my strong melody.
You are my strong melody. Sing of you forever. You poured out all your blood. You died upon the cross. You are my Jesus who loves me. You poured out all your blood. You died upon the cross. You are my Jesus who loves me.
All together.
You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. Yeah, you are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. And I'll sing it again.
Sing that again one more time.
You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. Yeah, you are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. And I sing it again.
Sing this last part together.
You are my Father in heaven. You are the Spirit inside me. You are my Jesus who loves me.
Prayer for you before you go, and it's from Ephesians chapter 3 verses 16 through 21.
I'd appreciate it if you would bow your heads and receive this prayer. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints, all the other Christians, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is in work at work in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God bless you all and have a blessed, safe new year. Thank you, and I'm looking forward to seeing you in 2010.
Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love.